Good morning. Nice to see happy, smiling faces. And we have some today from as far away as New Zealand. We have some from Texas, and I don't know, Michigan, and probably a few other places outside of Apopka. Even Zellwood, but you're not a visitor, so Zellwood doesn't count anyways. This morning, Charlie read the verses that I will be preaching from, James chapter 3, 1 through 12. So I would like to read first Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21. People will be rewarded for what they say. They will be rewarded by how they speak. What you say can mean life or death. Those who speak with care will be rewarded. Have you ever said something in an unguarded moment and then felt like a fool afterwards? I know I have. And I think that's an experience that we've all gone through. Me more than once. I think more than twice. I don't know. I would say more than 100 or more times. I know that I've said some pretty stupid things in my days. In a moment of anger, in a moment of self-preservation, I've said some stupid things. I know I have tossed verbal darts because I've seen them hit the mark. You can tell when you hit the mark. But I have also been on the receiving side of angry, hateful words, of taunting words. I have also felt the sting that I have given to others. Think for a moment. Can you remember hurtful words that someone has said to you? I think we would all say, oh yes. But now let me ask you a question. Do you remember the hurtful words that you have said to others? I think we tend to forget those, don't we? Or not think on them as much. The text said a small spark can set off a raging inferno. Yesterday on television, I had to watch the History Channel. And it was Mythbusters. And they were talking about the Great Chicago Fire. And was it true or was it false that woman's lantern started that fire? And they recreated her barn. And they tried different ways to start fires. And the fireman was in there and he had just lit a match to some hay. And a head came in and says, I hope you haven't lit the fire. We're not ready. And he goes, oh, yes, I did. And he started trying to put that fire out with his hand and with his foot, but it was in hay. He couldn't do it. A small little match ignited that hay and therefore that barn burned down. But the tongue is like, the tongue is like that. A small spark can set off a raging inferno. I don't know how much of Chicago burned down that day. But your tongue has set off probably more than once an inferno in your life. We regret the words, but the damage is done, isn't it? You can't take back hateful and hurtful words. And the damage from one word can go on, sometimes almost it would seem, into eternity. You can't take them back. And the hurt goes on. Once spoken, words hang around to haunt us. It's one of those mysteries of life, Charlie. We wish people would forget them, but they never do. In James 3, 2, we all make many mistakes. If people never said anything wrong, they would be perfect and able to control their entire selves too. Our words are so important that the Bible even warned those who would be teachers. You see, teachers, according to Scripture, are going to be judged more strictly because of their words. Verse 1 of James 3, my brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. Words do go into eternity. They come before the Father, and He will judge. The more you use your voice, at least it seems so, the greater the risk that you're going to say something wrong. You know, my mom always told me, you know, if you keep your mouth shut, you won't say nothing wrong. My problem is I have trouble keeping my mouth shut. Being of a teacher type, my mouth is my tool, and it is a tool, isn't it, for good and for evil. If you want to know what the real you is like, listen to yourself one day. Listen to the words you say, and you'll know more about yourself. But let's turn this idea around a little bit. It's true that an unkind word can cause much damage. But what about a kind word? What about a good word? Even a good word can have lasting effect, can it not? And doesn't it feel good when you paid someone a compliment and you've seen the smile? Or you said something kind at a moment when no one else was being kind to that person and see the relief on their face? A kind word can turn away wrath, the Bible says. An encouraging word, a wise word, can have great influence on those around us. Yes, words can be powerful for good as well as for evil. They can be a comfort or they can be a weapon. If you want to know how powerful words are, all you have to do is to remember words that have been spoken to you and words that you have spoken to others. I think all of us at one time have been criticized or ridiculed or told that we would fail. I have not forgotten, to show you how powerful words are, I have not forgotten when I was in junior high, it was my science teacher. He told me I would never go to college and amount to a hill of beans. I think that was his words. I can remember that, a hill of beans. That got me mad. I did go to college. I've got 2 master's degrees. I wish I knew where that man lived. No, I don't. I would not be able to guard my own tongue. But I've never forgotten those words. Words said to a 13 or 14-year-old boy. But they influenced my life, didn't they? So we all can remember times that we have been hurt. And I'm sure we can remember times where we have hurt others. You know, it's easiest to hurt the one you love because you know the one you love pretty good, and you know what to say to make him hurt, don't you? And sometimes we use those words in times of anger. When I'm honest with myself, and sometimes we need to be honest with ourselves, I realize that I do not do enough constructive work with my mouth. I know good words can build up people, can make their day. I know what good the tongue can be, but I don't think I use it enough. How about with you guys? I have scarcely tapped the power of good with my tongue that I could, because it's much easier to use our tongue carelessly. It's much easier to employ the tongue for damage. Just seems to come naturally to us at times, doesn't it? James 3, starting with verse 3. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can control their whole bodies. Also, a ship is very big, and it is pushed by strong winds, but a very small rudder controls that big ship, making it go wherever the pilot wants. It is the same with the tongue. It is a small part of the body, but it brags about great things. A big forest fire can be started with only a little flame. And the tongue is like a fire. It is a whole world of evil among the parts of our bodies. The tongue spreads its evil through the whole body. The tongue is set on fire by hell, and it starts a fire that influences all of life. Hope you got that last part. The tongue is set on fire by hell. Words are like windows into our heart. You can look through them and you can see what is in a person's soul at the time he's speaking. They are powerful words. They can express what is deeply within us. And they touch deeply within the hearts of others because people know where words come from. Oh, sure, we say things that we don't mean. Words that should not be taken seriously. Words that if we thought about them, we might never have said in the first place, or we might not even believe. But even those careless, inaccurate words show our soul. Words are windows. You can look through them and see the fires of hell. The Bible says our evil words are ignited by hellish flames. Criticism, ridicule, gossip, damaging words, I think, give a glimpse of what torture is all about. Or torment, excuse me, not torture. Maybe that too, but torment is all about. Words are windows. You can look through them and see the landscape of heaven. Words don't have to hurt. When we speak an encouraging word, a word of praise or kindness, we are drawing aside a curtain and showing that which is good. Our words have just such power. But it's not always easy to express this self-control as we talk, is it? Sometimes those careless words come out much quicker than words of praise. How often have we wanted to tell our children or our wives that we love them, and instead something stupid comes out, something hurtful? I think it happens more than we would care to say. It's not easy to control our talk. It requires great and constant effort. Once again, in James, verse 7, verse 8, people can tame every kind of wild animal, bird, reptiles, fish, and have tamed them, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a wild and evil and full of deadly poison. Now, if you ever watched movies with bears, when bears attack or when tigers attack people, those are trained animals. Still, maybe partly wild creatures, but yet they were trained to do their part in that movie. They too can be actors and actresses in movies, animals. We read about a horse a while ago. Now, my sister, I don't know, do you still have horses? Isn't it amazing, those big, beautiful creatures? And they'll let us put a bit in their mouth, reins around their head. They'll let us put a saddle on it. They will let us ride it about where we want to go, not where it wants to go. Isn't that amazing? I think it's amazing. We can tame pigs and chickens and make them our food. And they seem to be happy with their lot in life. And yet, what does the Bible say? We can't even control our own tongue. We can control and do things to all these animals, but we can't control our own tongue. One of my favorite animals are dogs. You know, you can treat a dog bad and it will still come back to you a little bit later with his tail under his leg and with full of love in his eyes. And we train dogs to do many things. The Indians used them to pull their goods from village to village. They use them to pull sleds up in Michigan. No, not in Michigan. You've got to go further to the Eskimos. But our tongue. We cannot seem to control our tongue. It takes so much effort. It takes so much patience to train these animals. But where is that patience and effort to control our own tongue? It's an uphill challenge to do that, isn't it? Mouths are easy to operate. They're hinged to the jaw. They move up and down. Easy to use, you would think. We've learned to form words. We've learned to express ideas. We've learned to speak our mind. The frustration comes. It's like we've learned to drive a car. We've learned to turn it on. We've learned to step on the gas. We've learned to turn left or right. But we've forgotten how to stop the car. We ask, where's the brake? That's the tongue. We know how to use it quite well. The problem is, where's the brake? How do you stop it when it should be stopped? How do we switch off the motor? How do we get our mouths to shut up? That's not so easy to do. I'd rather drive a car than to learn to control the mouth or the effort that is needed. It seems a bleak picture. The Bible said no man can tame the tongue. Animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea, we can tame these and have tamed these. It seems silly to think our own mouth can have its own way against our will. Training our talk is outside of the realm of human achievement. It is, however, something that God can do. He can change our talk. He can transform our words because through His Spirit, He transforms the source of our words, our heart. Now, all of these words of ours do not form in a vacuum. They come from somewhere. They do have a source. Jesus said that our words are an overflow from our heart. It's as if our soul has the warehouse of words, both good and evil, stockpiled, and our tongue seems to like the stockpile of evil words better at times. When we speak, we are just drawing from the inventory that is already in our heart. Words, he said, are such a reliable indicator of what is inside of us that we can be judged by our words. Let me read to you. This is Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 33 through 37. If you want good fruit, you must make the tree good. If your tree is not good, it will have bad fruit. A tree is known by the kind of fruit it produces. You snakes, you are evil people, so how can you say something good? The mouth speaks the things that are in the heart. Good people have good things in their hearts, and so they say good things. But evil people have evil in their hearts, so they say evil things. And I tell you that on the judgment day, people will be responsible for every careless thing they have said. The words you have said will be used to judge you. Some of your words will prove you right, but some of your words will prove you guilty. James expresses that same idea with illustrations, verse 11 and 12 of chapter 3. Do good and bad water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree make olives or a grapevine figs? But with modern genetics type stuff, they do possibly, but normally no. And he says, no. And a well full of salty water cannot give good water. Fig trees and springs can only produce that which God has created them. Jesus has given us a clue, though, how we can change our talk. For my words to be different, my heart must change. If I put better stuff in that warehouse, the shipments will improve. I will deliver the goods that are in my heart. My words will have a greater value and a benefit. If good water is flowing, it is because the source is good. When true faith enters my life, it sets a process in motion. It begins to purify the spring at its source, the soul. As I fill my mind with Scripture, the wonderful process accelerates. Before I know it, I am tasting good words instead of bitter regret. Do you see why it's important to come to church regularly? Do you see why it's important to have a regular Scripture reading time in your daily life? Do you see why it's important to eat spiritual food? Would we even consider not eating physical food? Some have tried. But does it get us anywhere? And likewise, we should never consider doing without our daily spiritual food of Scripture. At the end, I'd like to read from Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Brothers and sisters, think about the things that are good and worthy of praise. Think about the things that are true and honorable and right and pure and beautiful and respected. Do what you learned and received from me, what I told you and what you saw me do, and the God who gives peace will be with you. With God's help, we can improve our talk. Let's pray. Father, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you. Amen. Maybe there are those here today that need the prayers of the church to correct their hearts. Maybe there are those here today that would like to enter the kingdom and have their heart changed so that they can change the source of their words. Then you can do so today as we stand and sing our invitation song.